Please, if you do not have notes, Frenchie will get you a copy of the notes. Deuteronomy 17, please. We're going to read this section. All right, let's all stand, please. Deuteronomy 17, we'll begin reading in verse 2. The title is going to be a continuation of what I did this morning. If at all possible, we will be done not one moment later than 7, so you have plenty of freedom to enjoy the beautiful weather. For all of your information, pastor's job has, I try to do many things. One thing I like to do is I would like to have a church full of people that think as Christians. A problem is if you don't read the Bible and meditate on the Bible, it becomes so ugly, it's just ugly. It becomes apparent that we're not thinking as Christians. As I said this morning when I had a Filipino, and by the way, that Filipino said to me a half a dozen times, I'm not doing that, I'm a Filipino. And Dada probably knows who I'm talking about, and I would tell him to his face, I don't care what your ethnicity is, the scripture is what dictates who we are and how we live. But for him, well, I'm a Filipino. It's like, okay, what's that got to do with anything? And by the way, you have it with lots of ethnic groups, you know, this is who we are. This text deals with this subject. The children of Israel are going into the promised land. They're going to start a country. How often do you have that opportunity? Much like 1776, though 1776 wasn't a creation of a country de novo, out of nothing. It had elements of a lot of things, English common law. It had a lot of elements from the Enlightenment, obviously the Bible. So what we're going to look at, by the way, is not one-to-one. We're not claiming America was Israel or America ever should be Israel. But the principles of toward a more just society are very important. Friends, if we vote for people who violate laws, you do understand we're voting for our own destruction. So it's important. Deuteronomy 17, verse 2. If there be found any among you, within any of thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, man or woman, that hath wrought wickedness in the sight of the Lord thy God in transgressing his covenant, and hath gone and served other gods, and worshipped them, either the sun or the moon or any of the host of heaven, which I have not commanded. Now remember, as I said this morning, we're not talking about idolatry like this person would be guilty of. That was unique to a nation, Israel, which was a covenantal nation. America does not have a covenant with God, but we do have laws to protect us against many things and to give us a proper life. So we hear, and it says in verse 4, and it be told thee, and thou hast heard of it, and inquired diligently, and behold, it be true, and the thing certain that such abomination is wrought in Israel, then shalt thou bring forth that man or that woman, which hath committed that wicked thing unto thy gates. And remember, in the ancient world, the gates of the city was the center of economy, the judiciary, things happened there. The gates were an important place. Even that man or that woman, and shall stone them with stones till they die. At the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses shall he that is worthy of death be put to death. But at the mouth of one witness he shall not be put to death. Which probably tells you this. Please look up here. In our country and in any country, there are going to be times when people, this is what we say, get off. And you should be 100% comfortable with that because you already know. Sometimes you just don't have the evidence. You can say, I know this person's guilty of whatever. This is called welcome to the real world. We're not living in the millennium. Now, friends, if you so desire, Isaiah 11 would be a good place to start. The Lord Jesus disobeys this entire section. Because in the millennium, he doesn't need evidence. He knows. But we're not the Lord Jesus. We're not the Messiah. We live in this side of eternity. In the millennium, when Jesus rules and reigns, he won't judge after the seeing of the eye and the hearing of the ear, the very thing that we have to do, because he will know. But until that day, we have to follow process. And I'm going to say this. I much preferred to preach my Sunday morning sermon, but I need to talk about this. All right, so verse 7, the hands of the witnesses shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hands of all the people. So shalt thou put away evil from among you. If there arise a matter too hard for thee in judgment, which kind of assumes sometimes the little local court system is just going to be, we can't deal with this. So even in Israel, there was going to be higher levels of adjudication. That's a big word. Formal judgment. Why? Because sometimes you just don't have the resources. So Israel was set up from the beginning to have much what we do in America, which is levels of courts. That was part of the process. If there arise a matter too hard for thee in judgment, between blood and blood, between plea and plea, and between stroke and stroke, being matters of controversy within thy gates, then shalt thou arise and get thee up into the place which the Lord thy God shall choose, which in this case would be Jerusalem in the future. And thou shalt come unto the priests and Levites and to the judge that shall be in those days, and inquire, and they shall show thee the sentence of judgment. Otherwise, justice would come from the court system. And thou shalt do according to the sentence, which they of that place which the Lord shall choose shall show thee, and thou shalt observe to do according to all that they inform thee, according to the sentence of the law which they shall teach thee, and according to the judgment which they shall tell thee, thou shalt do. Thou shalt not decline from the sentence which they shall show thee to the right hand nor to the left. And the man that will, man, not male, but a person, that will do presumptuously, meaning they're not listening to this higher system, and will not hearken unto the priest that standeth the minister before the Lord thy God, or unto the judge, even that man shall die. And thou shalt put away the evil from Israel, and all the people shall hear and fear, and do no more presumptuously. The next passage, of course, picks up on the subject of kings in the future. We're going to look at tonight, and I'll move through this reasonably rapidly, toward a more just society. The first page is finished. We're going to read the 3 points, and I'm going to pick up with the 4th point. We'll just walk right through this, friends. This is, by the way, in case you've been around this church, I do things in a way where you can follow logically, where your mind, oh, I start here and I move forward. So stick with the logic of the scripture. Don't walk away going, bleh, 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 thinking about outer space or what you're going to eat after the service. Here's our problem. We really don't know what's wrong with America. I know. Yes, we have rejected truth. We have rejected God. We have rejected reality. It's pretty hard to have a country when there's no reality. But there is a reality. God. Truth. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, in your notes, for you that were not here this morning, which is half a dozen to a dozen of you, I said Sunday morning in Sunday school, problems will arise. Why do problems arise? By the way, folks, look up here, get the picture. Israel's going into the promised land. And God says, when you get there, you better have a judicial process. But you say, wait a minute. These are all people that believe in God. Makes no difference, friend. Hey, people do wrong. People lie. People steal. People kill. Problems will arise. Why? Because people are sinful. That's the reason problems arise. Problems, number two, that require laws and the rule of law. Number three, problems that cannot and must not be dealt with hastily. And Mrs. Warren, you still haven't corrected my grammar. Is that correct? Sounds terrible. Number four on the next page. We'll pick up with number four. Problems that require an evidentiary process. And both words are essential. Folks, an evidentiary process simply means this. Look here. There's a process. Nobody understands because they just know. You have to have a process. And you got to present evidence And without that, you don't know anything. You're back to whoever has the most guns. And about where we're at in America today, whoever's willing to shoot first, which it seems like where we want to go. Now, let me tell you a short story. Nobody knows. My wife doesn't know this. A few years ago, I talked to some people at Carrollton, Illinois, which is the seat of government in Greene County, Illinois, where my mother's family's from. Talked to the lady at the Historical Society, and I asked her about family names. I also asked her more particularly about a handful of churches. I said, do you have any information on their founding and all of that? Because I wanted to know when they started and all that. She gave me information, and I found out something about one of my family members that it put them outside the norm. No prejudice, no anything, factual. 99% of the people on my mom's side of the family that are Christians are Baptist and have been forever. Now, there's folks that aren't Christians. I said they're Christians. Very few exceptions. The same is true on my dad's side. Most of them come from Baptist roots or something like that, though there's a... You have to understand, in a family, I used to go to a family reunion of 200 or 300 people. There was one family that was Roman Catholic, and everybody in the whole family did that was just not where I'm from. I'm checking on family groupings. You've never met any of these people. They're from Jacksonville. Their last name is Crow. And my grandfather's mother was a Crow. I found out information on my grandfather's, that side of the family. The original guy came here later than everybody else, like 1850s. And he helped found a church in Carrollton, Illinois. I don't know how many of you will understand this right up front. You will, because we don't think this way. Baptists are almost never of the highest class. In the history of America, up until recently, if you were of the snooty class, you were Episcopalian. And he started the Episcopalian Church in Carrollton, Illinois. And he was a doctor. Well, then my first thought was, how in the world did his family get married into my family? One of them got in a land dispute and killed somebody and threw a monkey wrench into the family. By the way, no matter who you are, no matter what your family lineage, stuff like this happens. And look at me, Israel's going into the promised land. Here we are in America. Everything is peace and love and all. By the way, folks, stuff happens. People are evil. People do wrong. It won't help us to get the right people in power because the right people are wrong too. We have to have processes of dealing with this sort of thing. What in the world is an evidentiary process? Well, it's just what it sounds like. You have evidence and you have a process. Look in your notes real quickly. As profound as it is simple, the first thing that happens is it's told thee. I'm using the King James language. Otherwise, here you are, you find out that so-and-so murdered so-and-so, and it's told thee. Well, today you'd call the police. Hopefully, you would turn it over to the police and over to the judiciary system. It goes on to say, and thou hast heard it. But it isn't enough. I have it in your notes. You told thee, heard it. But then you have to inquire diligently because it's a process of evidence. By the way, all kinds of things are said about all kinds of people, and then you find out it's not true later on. You know, diligence of inquiry. Let me just say this to all of you that know the word. We have Spanish-speaking people, same word as Tagalog. Do you realize all chismus comes from the same source? You know what chismus is? I'm too lazy to investigate, so, excuse me, gossip. It's same in Spanish. It's spelled differently in Spanish and English. It's just gossip. By the way, gossip is people that won't inquire diligently. You know, if I hear old Mike over here, well, let's drop Mike. I'll use my wife. My favorite story of my wife, I used to joke, I never say this stuff about her now, that she smoked. Now, does she smoke? Only when smoke comes out of her ears when she's mad at me, okay? She doesn't smoke otherwise. But I used to kid around, and I probably will in the future, that she smoked. But the problem is, we had a woman that came to this church for a while that smoked. And at a distance, not to me, but to some people, she looks similar to Jenny. So one day, she's out back or something, just puffing on her puffer, and somebody sees her at a distance, and I have said in church that my wife smokes, so they're thinking Jenny actually smokes. By the way, you ought to inquire diligently. My wife doesn't smoke. I better not go any further. I'm going to get in trouble. In your notes. Friends, thing is told thee. You heard it. You inquired diligently. Then it goes on to say, the thing is true. And the thing is certain. Then. So this is all part of a process. As I say, this is a process. My goodness, you just don't say, I know what happened, so-and-so is guilty, Mrs. Warren smokes. And frankly, my wife never smokes unless she's around Judy, and then she does a little bit. Now I've started another rumor here tonight. Let's pass on that rumor. Let's get that one going. I don't know. You'd have to ask Judah. By the way, Judah is a good Filipina. She only smokes, and boy, I'm really being Tagalog tonight. She only smokes one stick at a time. And you'd have to go to the Philippines to even understand what I'm talking about. In your notes, Proverbs 18:13, 18:15, and 18:17 are essential verses. Friends, one of the reasons I'm talking about this is I use these principles every place I am. I read history all the time. History requires evaluation and thinking. Look at me. Dealing with people requires... Let me ask you, if a kid does wrong in the high school, will they lie to you? So what does Pastor Kowak say? No, folks, he uses a process. And basically the process is found in these verses. And it's the same process that a lawyer is going to use, a judge is going to use. You're going to go through an evidentiary process. So I don't know if you've memorized these or you know where they're at. And by the way, I'm being serious. You know, it offends me to the core to hear Christians that have been saved for 50 years and cannot think in an evidentiary way. Science requires this. Please look at me. You go into the hospital. When I went to the hospital, they did a lot of tests. They also did a urine sample. They also did to try to find out what kind of bacteria it is. They didn't hold it up to the light and say, I think it's this. That's the talk of fools. There's a process you go through. Now, the process is probably different than it was when I was around. But, friend, there's a process. Science, medicine, law, everything requires, and it ends up being a similar process. Only fools say, I know what it is. In your notes, he that answereth, or she that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is what? By the way, we have more fools and more people who have been shamed in America. It's embarrassing. It's called hiya in Tagalog. You have shamed yourself because you will not follow a process. I just know. I don't care. No, he that answereth a matter, whatever the matter is, before you even hear the information, it is folly and shame unto him. Proverbs 18:15, the heart of the prudent. This is at the heart. By the way, this means that which drives the person that has wisdom and prudence and insight. He or she's a person that gets knowledge. And the ear of the wise, they're not wise because they're wise in their own eyes. The ear of the wise is someone always seeking knowledge. Proverbs 18:17. He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him. And Pastor Kowak practices this. Look at me. A kid comes and tells him something. What is he going to do? Say, okay. He checks out every other student's story. Why? Because you talk to more than one person. People lie. Friends, I'm a pastor. I've had so many people lie to me. And I want to say this to you. You're going to have a really difficult time lying to me because I'm used to being lied to. After a while, it's like, that ain't working, folks. Lies sound like lies. In your notes, simple process. Number one, it's not numbered, it's bullet pointed. Number one, get the facts. That makes sense, doesn't it? If you got to make a decision about anything, get the facts. Here's the second concept. Actively get the facts. That's verse 15. The heart of the prudent is getting knowledge. The ear of the wise is seeking knowledge. Always learning, growing, moving, developing. Of course. So you get the facts. You actively get the facts. And I'm sorry to say this, you actually get the facts and not your feelings or your prejudice. So you actually get the facts. Have you ever wasted 30 minutes with somebody? Only one person knows who this is. I was talking to an individual a couple years back. By the way, and I can be polite. I try to be. The person was a left-wing Looney Tune. You know, if CNN is left, they were a half of 100 miles further left than CNN. I thought, by the way, I am so fooled. I thought people like to make informed decisions. So I said, why don't let me show you on the computer real clear politics, where you can get, look at me, people's opinion from the right side of things, Fox News, Town Hall, all of that sort, to the center, Wall Street Journal, to the left, which would be CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, NBC, NPR, and all of that. By the way, do you recognize that? So if I want to know and understand a topic, this is what I do. I go on there, and I read the entire spectrum of information. I get it from the conservatives to the people that are, you know, in the middle, which is pretty much the Wall Street Journal is about the only one even close to middle this day and age, to the left wing, and I read all of these people. You know why? I want to actually get the facts. I showed her all this information, and this is what she said to me pretty close. She said, well, I already know the facts. I watch CNN. Look at me in the eyes. She said, I don't care about reality. Reality is what I believe. That's the problem with this country. We got right-wing Looney Tunes. And by the way, I'm going to say it again. And I am a conservative. I'm on the right side. But there's Looney Tune people out there. And if you get on your little phone, that will take you down a rabbit hole. The next thing you know, you won't know reality either. You got to be able to step back and take a breather, because the internet is specifically Facebook and all of those that follow Facebook's methodologies are built for your benefit. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you think my Facebook knows I've had some kind of a problem with cancer? And it shows up on my Facebook every time I look. One night, I looked at a story on boxing. Tyson Fury shows up on my Facebook every single day. I don't want to see that big, ugly guy's face. You say, who's Tyson Fury? It's not important. Heavyweight champion of the world. By the way, this is geared to do what? Pat you on the head and tell you you're so smart. It's a rabbit hole. You have to actually get the facts yourself. And you don't do that by reading conservatives or liberals. You actually do that by thinking and getting all of the what? Facts. Well, let's finish this up. By the way, folks, I live and die by this. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Get the facts. Actively get the facts. That's seeking knowledge. Actually get the facts and not just your feelings and prejudice. Next, get both sides of the facts. And sometimes there's more than two sides. And lastly, get all the facts. I don't have time to talk about this, except to say this. I was alive back when George W. Bush became president the first time. Do anybody in this room remember the night that finally we found out who the president was, because the Supreme Court decided the folks in Florida couldn't keep counting the votes over and over and over? I still remember. Folks, look at me. It was hilarious. They handed this document out to reporters, And reporters, you could see, because whoever, whatever TV station I was watching, ran down to where their camera was, but you could see other people running too. He hadn't seen the document. He's flipping through pages, trying to get to the conclusion. Do you realize that's not a very good way of getting reality? Chaos. By the way, I don't need to tell you 9/11 was chaotic. I just showed our high school students 9/11 videos. If your children haven't seen, I have a good one upstairs, by the way, just so you know. Very nice one from National Geographic. National Geographic does a great job, except one thing. Nothing can replay the chaos of that day. Do you not remember the first tower? We didn't know what happened until 2 or 3 days later. Now, in the video, they show what happened. There was two brothers from France that came here to do a documentary on a firehouse down by 9/11. They were just out on a call. If you see the first tower, you see a camera pointed like this, and all of a sudden you hear some not nice language, and they pull up, and you see the explosion. That was an accident. We found out about that like 2 days later. Chaos. Friends, you can't make decisions out of chaos or your emotions. You must have a process. Get the facts. Please get the facts. Actively get the facts. Actually get the facts. Get both sides, or it might be more than two sides, and get all the facts. This is, I say in your notes, it's a process above that. All right, next page, please. Number 5, problems that require evidence to adjudicate. One of the most important truths in the scripture is 2 or 3 witnesses. Or may I say it a different way, the more evidence, the better. Friends, for time, I'm not going to go over this. I'm going to let you read all this information. It's found all through the scripture. Please look at me. Every place you go. Once you learn biblical truth, this is what you do. You can apply it every place. Hey, you can apply it in a church dispute. You can apply it in a family dispute, because everything you base on evidence and truth and testimony and witnesses. You don't do anything by how you feel. And it starts to show up real quick, the difference of two kinds of people. Let's go down to the thoughts. Thoughts. One piece of evidence is insufficient, obviously. Secondly, one source of evidence is insufficient. The thing that I like about our jurisprudence system in its best days is they don't just get one piece of the truth. They try to get every piece. Yes, there's bias. Yes, there's wrongdoing. But in the whole, this is the best process we can have, this side of the Lord Jesus ruling and reigning. Next, the more evidence, the better. And the more kinds of evidence, the better. And this is true in every place you go. Don't have time to discuss that in depth. Number 6, problems that result in appropriate punishment. Problems that result in appropriate punishment. Do me a favor, turn to the next page and we'll come back to this page. I consider the verses at the top of your notes on that page some of the most important in the scripture. But I have to give a caveat. Please look at me. I preached on it in Matthew. You heard it. You forgot it. Jesus seems to repudiate these verses, but he doesn't. Because these verses, please look at me, are not talking about what I do to you. These verses are talking about official processes. So an eye for an eye is not, you knocked out my eye, I'm knocking out your eye. An eye for an eye is done in a judiciary setting. Otherwise, it's about punishment. So let's read the verses, and then we'll go back to the previous page and fill in the bullet points. Exodus 21:24 says, an eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, and foot for foot. 21:26, and if a man smite the eye of his servant or the eye of his maid, that it perish, he shall let him go free for the eye's sake. 24:19 in Leviticus, and if a man cause a blemish in his neighbor, as he had done, so shall it be done to him. By the way, do you notice what you're seeing? What are you seeing? There's an appropriateness to this. There's an equality to this. So if I go to Cliffy's house and steal his car, not personally, he doesn't have that right in the Old Testament either. But in a judicial statement, look at me, the most Cliffy could demand would be what? I replace his vehicle. It couldn't be he kills me, he stones me, or he cuts off my hands. Are you all hearing me? These laws, if you're bored, read the Code of Hammurabi. Read the codes in the ancient world on punishment. And by the way, the codes of Hammurabi, which people know and they're so happy to know and they're so impressed with, they have problems. Because if you're rich, you have different laws. If you're a slave, you have no rights at all. And if you stole the loaf of bread, you steal something more important, they cut off both of your hands. Do you understand there's something about that that's not equal, not appropriate? Yes or no? Actually, eye for an eye is one of the most important texts for judiciary. We'll get to what it's saying. Let's keep reading. Leviticus 24:20, breach for breach, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. As he hath caused a blemish in a man, so it shall be done to him again. It's kind of an equality here. Deuteronomy 19:21, in thine eye shall not pity, but life shall go for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. And of course, the most famous story in the Bible, which I love, Adonai Bezek. Adonai means Lord, Lord of Bezek, or Lord Bezek. He fled, and they pursued him and caught him, and they cut off his thumbs and his big toes. You say, why would they do that? Well, there's a reason, but why would you do that to somebody that was your enemy? Because it's real simple. If I cut off your thumbs, you can still kind of work, you can still kind of take care of yourself, but it's pretty hard to hold a spear or a sword or an axe. If I cut off your two big toes, you can still move around, but you won't be running very well. So this Adonai Bezek, when they caught him, they cut off his thumbs and his two big toes. And you say, that's terrible. Read what he says. And Adonai Bezek said, 70 kings, 70 kings of little cities or villages, 70 of them, he says, having their thumbs and their great toes cut off, gathered their meat or their food under my table. As I have done, so God hath requited or repaid me. And they brought him to Jerusalem, and there he died. Friends, he got exactly the due punishment he should have gotten. He cut off other people's big toes and their thumbs, and he got it handed back to him. Pretty brutal. Let's go back to the previous page. Appropriate punishment. Well, the scripture teaches this. First of all, it teaches punishment. That's a given. There is an appropriate way of punishing wrongdoing. You have to do something. Secondly, it also teaches this, not only punishment, also mercy. There are times to be merciful. And that's pretty tough. Let me just say this to everybody. Some of you probably think Pastor Warren is the meanest guy you have ever met in your entire life. I love Nancy. Here's what's funny. Anybody that knows me in the real world, let me just say this. Of Pastor Kowak, my daughter, and me, I am by distance the wimpiest of the three. And you say, who is the one that chops off heads first? She's short and bossy. I'm a wimp. I am not the person that could do this stuff. Tim already knows this. Don't ask me. I'm always going to show mercy. I'm always into the mercy business. I have a hard time showing punishment. But I also realize in the real world, please look at me, in the real world, sometimes punishment has to happen. You just can't let things slide. Next page, please. But the punishment had to be appropriate punishment. So, if someone breaks, by the way, a few years back, my wife and I had gone upstairs. We were in bed. I was snoring, and she was peacefully going off to sleep. Our phone rang. My phone rang. It had to have been mine because I don't think you bring yours. I don't remember. My phone rang or something, and Stacy's on the phone saying, somebody's breaking into your garage. I have called the police. Is that true, or were you still downstairs? I can't remember. You were still downstairs. I was snoring. She was still working. Somebody had broken into our garage, and they went in there to pray. No, they went in there to do criminal malfeasance, criminal activities to steal. And by the way, it was so funny. They had done some stealing in our garage. You know, you have a little bit of change in a bag someplace. No joke. They stole these kind of glasses out of my car. Folks, you can buy them at Sam's Club four for $20. They had two or three in some cheap sunglasses that were, I guarantee I never played over $20 for a pair of sunglasses in my life. Probably 10. They stole my sunglasses. They stole a pair of reading. They stole some ink pens. I'm like, really? You're really hitting it big. Here's exactly what happened. And I watched it through the door. The police ordered them out. They did it properly. There was two of them. They ordered them out. Yes, they had their guns drawn. You say, why? It's after midnight. It's dark. What are they doing in somebody's garage? They come out. They get them on the ground. They handcuff them. I talked to the police. And you know, he says, what do you want to do? And I said, what should I do? Because my first response, what is it going to be? Seriously. Do you know what's sad about that? I got to tell you this, and then I'm going to move on. Here's a problem. By the way, are the police racist? Ooh, I'm going to tell you on the whole, no. But police do have a problem. Police deal with these kind of people every single day. I want you to hear this, Jenny. You know this is true. The police knew who was in the garage before they saw them. They told me, two white kids, 20s, little less, two white guys. He says, yeah, the one guy's dad's done this his whole life too. Do you know what it's like to deal with people breaking into houses day after day after day? But I ask him, what should I do? I'm prone for mercy. But there has to be appropriate punishment. Next in your notes. A maximum, it is a maximum punishment and no more. So friend, when you read these passages, please, please, please hear me, in the Old Testament. When you hear eye for eye, that is a maximum. Which means if you intentionally harm somebody and did harm to their eye, the maximum punishment would be something equal. You know, because if you do any reading in law and what happens around the world, people get killed, especially if you're poor. They just kill you. Or they put you in some rat-infested prison where you wish you were dead. The Old Testament said the punishment can be this high, no more. Eye for an eye, equivalence. Stroke for stroke. Yes, in a case of murder, you would take the person, not you take their life, the government, you know, the government and officials would, but it would always be appropriate. Now, Sparky, you're here. Are you here tonight, Sparky? '36, could it be 1537? I lose track of the exact moment. Frenchie was alive, but I was not alive then. Henry VIII wanted to get rid of his second wife, Anne Boleyn. You guys know the story? But the problem was, if he got rid of Anne Boleyn, he not only wanted another wife, he did. I mean, deep down, one of his big issues is he wanted a son. I mean, there's no question about that. And he liked women, but he could have women anytime. He had to get rid of Anne Boleyn. Please look at me. They accused Anne Boleyn of just absolutely ridiculous things. But he also had to get rid of Anne Boleyn's brother. Because back in those days, this is what they did. If you got crossways with King Henry, you lost your life. They accused the brother of incest with Anne Boleyn. His head was cut off. Normally, your whole family either died or they lost all of their property and all of their wealth. They were directly, look at me, directly disobeying a scriptural principle, which whatever the punishment has to be equal. But by the way, when you don't have lex rex, the law is king, what do you have? Rex lex, the king is law. He didn't just kill Anne Boleyn. He didn't just kill the brother. He killed George Smeaton. He killed, was it five or six, Sparky, something like that? He killed pretty much, and even killed one of his friends, which I've never figured out. You say why? Because they were in the wrong place. When he got rid of somebody, he took their properties. That's pretty nice. I'm the big guy. If I don't like you, I get rid of you and I take all of your property. So do you understand when the Bible says eye for eye, that's limiting the possible punishment. It can never exceed what was done wrong. No, you don't cut somebody's hand off if they steal bread. You might make them work. You might make them pay back some bread, but you don't cut their hand off. That's not equal. So, there's punishment. Not only punishment, mercy also, appropriate punishment, maximum punishment, and no more. And most important, and this goes to Jesus' teaching, it's official and not personal. None of this is done me taking somebody else's life. It's that which is done officially. Well, the last two concepts I'll just mention. When the children of Israel went into the promised land, please look up here. I'm just going to talk you through this. God assumes there's going to be problems. May I ask you a question? Do you assume there's not going to be problems? Do you understand human nature? Do you understand human nature does wrong? There's always going to be problems. Therefore, he sets up this whole situation where we have a process of evidence. It's an evidentiary process that requires evidence, then ultimately requires punishment. But then he also talks about this. There might come a case that's too hard for Waukegan. Even in America, we have levels of courts. By the way, that's pretty nice, because what if all the courts in Waukegan are stacked against you? Probably the next level of courts are not. And what if the next level of courts are stacked against you? Probably the next. You see, you get fair someplace, sometime, you can get your case adjudicated fairly. Let me ask you a question. Do you have any idea what I'm saying? Or is this just wasting time? This is biblical teaching, friend. Problems that might require further adjudication. Adjudication being formal judgment and formal justice. And lastly, and this is what I yelled about this morning, the text in verse 10, 11, 12, and 13 is very clear. So everyone look at me. I think I have seen in my lifetime unfair judgments. I'm pretty sure that O.J. Simpson's guilty. Am I okay with O.J. Simpson's trial? Yes. It never went anyplace. By the way, the poor judge, see, most of us don't realize that judge was a local yokel. O.J. Simpson had F. Lee Bailey, which is one of the two or three greatest defense lawyers in the history of America. He also had Johnny Cochran. He also had the Kardashian guy. This was a team of superheroes, and there was a little judge up there named Billy Bob. But hear me. Look at me in the eyes. I accept that judgment. You know why? Because I also believe there's one last court of appeals. And I believe all things will be cleared up in the end. How about you? And it's the same way in this country. So here's what happens, friend. And I say this, and I'm not mad at you if you disagree with me, because I understand we have different opinions about some things. If you ask me, do I think there was a lot of smoke going on in the last election? Yes. I don't think there's any question. Rules being changed at the last minute and just craziness. Hold it. Trump had his day in court. On this side of eternity, I have to accept that. The text gives me that indication. And Trump went to court after court after court, and as far as I know, he won no place. So here's what happens. I accept that because I believe There's one last court, and all things will be cleared up there. That's what I believe. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for this time together. May you bless our time now in Jesus' name.